studying from the book of Proverbs today, and you can begin by turning to Proverbs chapter 1. And as you're turning there, I have quite a list of prayer requests this morning. Lots of folks that could use some prayer. Please continue to pray for John Daugherty. John had surgery for skin cancer this week, and I think the surgery went well. But just please continue for John as he heals, praying for John. Also, Todd and Danielle Rahm are expecting twins, and there have been some complications. Danielle had to have surgery this week. My understanding is the surgery again went well, but I think there's still prayer needed for healing in that situation. Not to put Pablo on the spot. Pablo, you want to come up and give us a quick update of Jennifer? Because I don't know the latest. You want to do that? Okay, so Jennifer Poriette has been diagnosed with a form of leukemia. She is in the hospital right now, and I have not heard the latest, so I thought maybe Pablo wouldn't mind telling us what's going on.
So last Sunday,
says it is.
Yeah, so last Sunday, we find out that Jennifer has leukemia, and then since last Sunday, then she has been in St. Francis. So the Lord has been good. We thought that it was going to be ALL. That's one type of leukemia. It's AML. And within AML, there are different types of subleukemia. So they did a bone marrow analysis, and that takes like 3 to 10 days to come back. And once we have those results, then they will be able to know what is the treatment. If it is just chemotherapy plus another drug, chemotherapy plus drug plus bone marrow transplant. So far, we don't know, and we're living one day at a time, trusting God. So whatever He wants to be, then is good for us. We have set a caring bridge blog because we have some groups to update some of our folks, but it's kind of hard to update the entire church. Yeah. So we're going to send that link through the prayer list. So everybody that wants to know any update can just go there and then look. I try to put two updates every day, one in English and one in Spanish. That way we can just keep it update everyone. So you guys can pray for us and then the Lord can be glorified in this situation. So thank you.
And also continue to pray for Mary Bolander, who has multiple health issues. She and Lee continue to need our prayers. And then we have two groups that we're going to pray for this week. The youth missions team is headed to Kentucky this week. And also Spring Hill Camp is going on this week. And what I'd like to do just real quick before we read our scripture is, if you are involved in any way with Spring Hill Camp or with the youth missions team, would you stand up where you are for just a minute so people can see where you are and let you know they're praying for you this week, okay? Got a few here. All right, a few more over here. So be praying for these guys. It's going to be an awesome week. Oh, slow to rise. Okay. All right, I get it. Good job, you guys. All right, we're praying for you this week. Well, I heard a quote recently, and I've kind of been wrestling with it. I still don't know where I land on it, but it's kind of stuck with me. It just simply went like this. Everyone wants to do what's right. Some people just don't know what that is. Kind of been wrestling with that. I'm not sure exactly where I land on that, but we've spent the last couple of months studying the book of Proverbs. And many of the Proverbs that we've been studying include some really deep, kind of profound truths that you kind of read it and you go, yeah, that opens something up in my thinking that I've never thought of before. A lot of times, though, the Proverbs are very clear, kind of common, what we call common sense, that you kind of need to be reminded of, but yeah, it makes perfect sense as soon as you read it. But you start to begin to wonder, where does the average person turn for wisdom? Because we need wisdom, don't we? To make it through this life, don't you sometimes wonder, what do I do? Where do I go? Well, one of the places they've been turning for more than four decades now, and I'm going to show my age because some of the younger people in here don't even realize the impact this column had for years, but it's called Dear Abby. How many know who Dear Abby is? All right, still quite a few of you. If you didn't raise your hand, it's just pathetic. But anyway, it's one of those columns where you read it and sometimes you agree, sometimes you don't agree, but, you know, trying to impart wisdom. Well, here are some actual excerpts from Dear Abby letters, seeking wisdom. My 40-year-old son has been paying a psychiatrist $75 a week, $75 an hour every week for 2.5 years. I told him he's crazy. What do you think? My mother is mean and short-tempered. Do you think she may be going through her mental pause? I have one of those every day. I don't know. I suspected that my husband has been unfaithful. And when I confronted him with the evidence, he denied everything and said it would never happen again. All right, here was my favorite. I had to save this one. Our son was married in January. 5 months later, his wife had a 10-pound baby. They said the baby was premature. That was a great laugh. Tell me, can a baby that big, this big, be that early? Here was dear Abby's answer. The baby was on time. The wedding was late. Good answer, right? Now, I know that most people that we meet in life have at least a little more common sense than some of those ones that we just read. I hope so anyway. But the truth is that anyone who wants to do what's right doesn't really know where to go, doesn't really understand how wisdom can even be a part of our lives. Boy, the book of Proverbs is an awesome place to start, isn't it? Because it's a part of God's Word. And we've studied that as we've looked at Proverbs. It's a part of what God has given to us. This whole book is given to us for wisdom in life and to understand God and how to live for Him. And so we only have 3 weeks left in our series that we're trying to instill some wisdom. And so today we're going to look at kind of an overall view of that. Where do you get your wisdom from? How is it that wisdom is developed in our lives? And we're going to start with Proverbs today, Proverbs chapter 1. And we're also going to jump ahead to Proverbs chapter 2. And if you're able to do it, let's stand together as we read God's Word. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Jump ahead to Proverbs chapter 2, just verses 1 through 6. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. You can go ahead and have a seat. Now, many of you know the background of the book of Proverbs, but I realized in this whole series I've never really given it. For those of you that are kind of new to the Scriptures, maybe new to the book of Proverbs. But this great book of the Old Testament, it's been attributed to Solomon, who was the king of Israel, and who was indeed the son of the great King David. And so those are the relationships that are going on here. Not long after Solomon ascended the throne, you can go back and read about this in 1 Kings chapter 3. But God came to Solomon in a dream, and He basically said to him, Solomon, ask me for anything that you'd like. I will grant you anything that you like as you rule over my people. And so Solomon very quickly asked God for a discerning heart that he could rule God's people well. That's what he asked for. Could have asked for anything. And God was very pleased with that. And the Bible says that God granted Solomon a wise and discerning heart. And so Solomon's wisdom was in many ways set aside. There was never a rival in Solomon's day, as far as wisdom is concerned, and many would say even to this day, nobody has attained that kind of wisdom that God gave to Solomon. And so that's why you'll hear the phrase, I need the wisdom of Solomon. Have you ever heard that? What's going on? Well, I don't know what to do. I just need the wisdom of Solomon. If you've never heard it before, now you can use it today. And then if somebody says, what's that mean? You can say, hey, here's a link. Go. No, I'm just teasing. But I need the wisdom of Solomon. But what is wisdom? All right, what does that word mean? We've thrown it around a lot. Well, let me give you the dictionary definition. All right, this is what you read if you go to the dictionary. Wisdom is the ability to understand what is right, what is true or enduring, good judgment, knowledge. Now, that right there, and I'm not going to get off on this tangent because we've got a lot to cover this morning, that right there puts us in a little bit of a challenge with our culture, doesn't it? Because many times in our culture today, is there real truth available in our culture? You know, the idea again is that truth is in the eye of the beholder, but what we're reading here about wisdom, we're going to read it through the book of Proverbs, is that God has a truth that is the truth. And so wisdom is to know what is right, what is true, or enduring. Good judgment, knowledge. Listen to what some others say about the idea of wisdom. J.I. Packer. Wisdom is, in fact, the practical side of moral goodness. That's why you say, watch what people do, and you'll know what's in their hearts, because that's true wisdom. If the heart is good, you're going to see the practical side of that. Joseph Joubert said this, common sense suits itself to the ways of the world. Wisdom tries to conform to the ways of heaven. We talk a lot about common sense, don't we? Well, that suits itself to the ways of the world. Wisdom tries to conform to the ways of heaven. A.W. Tozer. You've never read any of Tozer. Wow, got to dig in. He's a good guy. Wisdom is always associated with righteousness and humility and is never found apart from godliness and true holiness of life. Okay? So we need to understand these things if we're going to seek out wisdom. And that's the truth. That's a deep reality about wisdom. It's not just a vast amount of knowledge. Have you ever known somebody that just knows a whole lot, like their head is packed full of information, but you would not call them a wise person? See, when you stop and think about it in that way, you realize this isn't just about information. It can't be attained by having a certain number of degrees after your name. It's not that those are unimportant, but that's not what we're talking about. Wisdom has to do with living out the truth before us, living it out. And in the biblical sense, as Joubert said, seeing life from God's point of view. How does God view this? What would God say about this? How does He understand what's happening? Now, for this morning, you've probably heard of the initials IQ, intelligence quotient, okay? You may have had a test at some point that showed you where you fall on that scale, all right? I had one time, and they said they'd never had a negative result before. It was incredible. But I'm always a trendsetter, right? Well, there's another set of initials that we use a lot of times in different fields of study. It's called the EQ. That's called the emotional quotient. How well are people able to handle things that happen in life emotionally, and how communicative are they with their emotions? That's called the EQ. So I thought, you know, we're going to do 2 weeks in this whole idea of the big picture of wisdom. So we're going to talk about our WQ. What is our wisdom quotient? Where do we rate on that scale? How do we find ourselves walking through life as far as wisdom is concerned? And so for today, just four truths about our WQ. Okay, four truths. Number one, this is the first truth we find in Proverbs. To find wisdom, we must seek it. Okay? To find wisdom, we must seek it. I love these first few verses of Proverbs because if you noticed when we read it, when we started out, it said that wisdom is even available to the simple. How many in here are thankful for that truth this morning? Just raise your hand. Join with, you'll notice my hand is up. It is available even to the simple. We can learn what is right. And what is just, and what is fair. That passage went on to say it's available to the young. Did you see that? So it's not just simply an age thing. It's not simply an IQ thing. The reality is we can learn these things. Look again at verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. So I'm going to tell you one of my theories of life, and I know I've shared this before, but I just want you to understand that I see this all around me. And I'm right up front that this is my theory. I don't have any studies to back up what I'm going to tell you or any kind of, you know, data to confirm what I believe. But I believe most people who have a serious question about faith, okay, about God in general, about Scripture, most people have those serious questions, do not base that doubt on an in-depth intellectual pursuit on their part. That's just my conclusion. I don't see that happening very often. I would say that the majority of people who scoff at the idea of faith or who reject Scripture outright, all those kinds of things, most of those folks have never taken the time to seriously consider what's in the Bible, the background to the church, the historical evidences for Jesus and his life and death and resurrection. I would say that the vast majority of people who fall in that camp have never even looked into these things before, at least seriously. You see, to many folks, there appear to be questions, or they'll hear these contradictions that are in Scripture. And, you know, it's just an easier route to take. I'm honest with you. To seek after wisdom like we're talking about, it's a hard thing. So it's easier just to say, oh, there are all kinds of contradictions in the Bible. Oh, I don't believe this, or I don't believe that. Okay? And so they object and they disagree. Sometimes they just don't want to be told how to live their lives. Isn't that true? I don't. And yet you go to Scripture, you begin to understand how the world is designed. And so often I just have to ask, how much, somebody brings up these questions, how much have you personally researched or studied or ever listened to the claims of the Bible? How much have you done that? Very rarely do I have anybody that's done much research or study on their own. Listen, Solomon was a wise man. I don't think anybody would ever doubt that as they read through the Proverbs. God gifted him with this superior ability to discern. Okay? And there's some great stories about Solomon, the way he discerned as a king. And what did he say? He said, to be wise, you must listen. To find wisdom, you have to seek it. You have to go after it. Look at the first five verses of chapter 2 again. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Does that sound easy? It's not meant to be. If it sounds easy, it's not meant to sound easy. One statistic I read recently is that one of the biggest misunderstandings in the field of communications is that the average person will tell you they're a very good listener. Now, do you think the average person is a very good listener? No, it's one of our worst traits. And again, culturally, it's very difficult for Americans because we're always ready to talk. And so you have to actually, in case you've never taken a communications class, you actually have to shut your mouth to listen. See there? That was extra. That's not even in the notes. It's hard work to listen, though, isn't it? And yet that's what we're told we have to do. We have to turn our heart. We have to apply our heart to understanding. That is hard. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, do you hear the path? This is a tough path. And if you look for it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, if you are really after this thing, okay, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, I will tell you this is kind of based on study, although I've never quantified all the parameters and all that kind of stuff, okay? But I have never known anyone who has ever approached the Bible with sincere questions who went through something like maybe the Alpha course. We've offered that here several times at our church. Maybe they took Community 101 to figure out what our church is all about and kind of what we believe. Maybe take the first two levels of discipleship training. Understand how to get into the Bible and study it and what prayer is all about. Memorize some verses of Scripture and had a daily quiet time for a set number of weeks. Okay? I have never seen anyone do those steps and come out the other side not a believer. I've never seen it. And so it's kind of a challenge to you this morning. If there's somebody here this morning that you've never approached faith before, you're just learning Scripture, I am so glad you're here. I really am. Do all these things I just said and then come to me afterwards. Now don't do it saying, no, I'm going to prove him wrong. I'm not going to be a believer. But put me to the test on it. And you're not putting me to the test. Put God to the test. And there's nothing magical about those courses. All I'm saying is all of a sudden you are seeking. You're truly looking for it. You're putting the hard work in. Solomon says we have to seek wisdom. Now, this is an easy question. Are you ready? Do you think Jesus agreed with that? Okay, see, I had to throw you an easy one. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will what? Knock and the door will be opened to you. I've had people say that. Oh man, I was reading the Bible, I was going through it, and all of a sudden it's just like the door opened. Like I could see. That's what Jesus is talking about. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, this is an awesome thought, and I'm glad it's true, but let me ask you, does God have to give us wisdom? I mean, is it required of him? Is there some kind of cosmic formula that if we follow, God has to give it to us? Well, the answer is no, and that's why it really leads us into point number two of our wisdom quotient for today. Simply this, wisdom is, it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. This is an awesome truth when you understand Scripture. Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And it goes on. He holds victory in store for the upright. Anybody in here like victory better than losing? Come on. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. You ever feel like you need a shield in front of you? Maybe on the way to church this morning? For he guards the course of the just and he protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. There's the wisdom right there. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. It's going to be pleasant. You know, the Bible regularly tells us that God is our heavenly Father. It's how the Lord's Prayer starts out, isn't it? He is our heavenly Father. He created us. God cares about us. I hope you believe that this morning. I'm not just saying I hope you say that it's true, but that you believe it. You understand that. You grasp that. He desires great things for our lives. And I'm going to tell you, more than anybody else in our lives, he knows that without wisdom from heaven, our lives will be an utter disaster. I mean, we might be able to just hold it together for a while at different periods, but the truth is, in the end, if we don't have his wisdom. So what does he do? He offers it to us. He imparts it to us. Sometimes, even before we've made a commitment to him, I love sometimes there'll be a testimony where somebody will say, you know, God spoke to me before I even knew who Jesus was and got me not to do something that would have absolutely ruined my life. There are some great testimonies that are like that, that as they look back, they realize God was already intervening. And they hadn't even taken the time yet to reach out and to acknowledge that they needed Jesus. He allows us to see the truth that is right before us. Now, come on, you got to get it this morning. God is gracious, isn't he? He is full of grace. He extends that grace to us. Now, just seeing and recognizing this gift does not make it fully functional, though. Because, again, you may be sitting there agreeing with all of this, at least in theory. Solomon even tells us that in these verses. But who is it that experiences victory? Well, the ones who are upright and whose walk is blameless. Whose way is protected? We just read it. Those who accept wisdom and live it out in their lives. But where does this wisdom come from? Where does it originate? It comes directly from God, and it is a gift to us. See, I don't know, sometimes we're going to look at what the Apostle James says. Sometimes I think it all falls on me. I've got to figure all this out. I've got to be wise. I've got to, you know, and I love the effort, and I think the effort has to be there. We've already talked about that. But where does it begin? Look at James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, and it's kind of a funny little phrase, isn't it? Does anybody in here lack wisdom? Raise your hand. If your hand is not raised, it should be. Okay? We all do, don't we? Don't you ever do something and go, what was I thinking? I do that a lot when I'm doing home projects. Yeah, I'm getting stitches again. What was I thinking? If any of you lacks wisdom, he should do something. He should ask God. Now, what does God do when we ask? Who generously gives to how many? To all. Without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Don't leave that little phrase out, without finding fault, you know? If you go to God today and you say, God, you know what? I'm really kind of lacking in this whole wisdom area. I really need to learn. God is not going to come back to you and go, seriously? Like, you're lacking wisdom? He's not going to do that. He's not going to find fault. He's going to come back and he's going to say, I know. I know you do. I created you. I know the challenges you face. Now let me help. Let me be a part of the solution. I think that just summarizes God's character. Who gives generously to all? That's what we're talking about. Who gives generously to all? I want you to imagine a scenario with me this morning. Okay, it's Christmas morning. I know, here we are. Rodney had to come in early and turn the air conditioning up. I'm like, oh great, I've got a Christmas idea. That's okay. You can imagine with me, it's Christmas morning. One particular family has a tradition where they trade a lot of smaller gifts with each other throughout the time together, and then they end the gift giving with this one large gift that they give to each of the children, one really big gift. And so one particular Christmas morning, this gift was so large, okay, that the daughter couldn't even, they couldn't bring it into the house to give it to the daughter. It was too big. It was too heavy. So they decided to have fun with it. So they made a scavenger hunt for her to follow. Now, my boys would have both loved this. I used to do scavenger hunts all the time. So you put together the instructions of how she's to go about it. And so she has to find the first clue, and then the second, and then a third. And the third clue led her to the biggest Christmas gift of all. The only problem was simply this. She didn't want to look for the gift. She didn't want to have to go through that effort. Just give her her big gift. It is Christmas. Nobody should have to work on Christmas, right? Tell the mom that. Nobody should have to do that. Can you imagine? Now, it may have been a horse. How many as a kid wanted a horse when you were growing up? Okay? It could have been a car. It could be some huge gift that most of us would have only dreamed of receiving as a child. But she didn't want to be bothered with the seeking part. I don't want to have to go to all that effort. The Bible tells us wisdom is an incredible gift that God extends to how many in here? All of us. It takes some work to find it. We have to put in the effort, but when we do, and when we unwrap its treasures, it will change our lives. What a gift God is extending to every one of us. And that leads us very quickly then into our third point for this morning. Wisdom is found in God alone. I know this just seems to make sense, but we're kind of building the case here that the truth is you're not going to find this at any university or any textbook. Wisdom is found in one place alone, and that is in God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord, now again, remember, this is the respect of God, the understanding of who God is the beginning of knowledge. However, fools despise wisdom and discipline. See, I didn't use the word fools, but that is what God is saying to those who say, oh, I don't believe the Bible, I don't believe in God, and all this kind of stuff. What have you done to research that? Oh, I just don't believe it. God would come along and say, then you don't understand wisdom, because it begins with me. He is the one that leads us on the first step of wisdom. You cannot talk about the wisdom that we're dealing with through the book of Proverbs without God. You just cannot do it. Look at Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. This is one of our hallmark verses through this series. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. We've talked about this. How many chambers of our heart are we supposed to trust Him with? Just one? All of it, right? Everything. Because He is the source of our wisdom. I was reading a story the other day, and I know those of you who are aging like me, of course we're all aging, but some of you are older. You know, you read these stories of maybe your childhood heroes, all right? I'm going to tell you who one of my favorite shows growing up, man, am I going to date myself. And the star of the show, the guy's name was David Carradine. And he starred in the 70s TV show called what? Anybody know? Kung Fu, Fred Beerwort. He was bitten. Look at him. He knows. Okay, put your arms on the kettle. Burn the... Anyway, I don't want to get into it. Now, I wasn't a Christian at the time when I used to watch Kung Fu, but I thought it was just so cool. All the mystical talk and the wisdom of the Shaolin priests. I thought it was so fascinating. I wasn't a Christian. So, seeking wisdom, trying to understand life. But I was reading about his life this past, last couple months. I read a couple of articles about his life. And in several of the articles, it said that he died in Thailand a few years ago, and the reporter talked about how his life was very much like his character, Grasshoppa. Remember Grasshoppa? Okay. He was constantly seeking wisdom. He wanted to know mystical truths. And so he studied many Eastern religions. He sought out the light of wisdom. I mean, he really kind of lived his life the way the program unfolded. But as I was reading these articles, and again, this is part of my childhood coming back to me, this kind of sadness came over me because I really began to wonder if anyone had ever explained the truth of Christ to him. Did he really ever understand the things that we're talking about this morning? I think the old song probably says it well. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Anybody remember that song? Well, how about looking for truth in all the wrong places? Is that possible? Looking for wisdom in all the wrong places? I know I shouldn't quote songs because now you're going to have that song in your head if you know it for the rest of this morning. But I just wonder, wisdom is found in God alone. And the Bible is very clear, not just in the book of Proverbs, from beginning to end. Now, I want to say something real quick. But Chuck, isn't that so limiting? I mean, think about what you're saying. I just want to say this morning, these are not my ideas, okay? These are God's ideas. I'm just reporting. So don't shoot the messenger this morning. Yes, it's limiting. That's what the Bible teaches. To me, it's almost like somebody battling a disease, like Pablo was talking about, right? And the doctor comes along and says, okay, here, this antibiotic is known to beat this disease. And somebody says, oh, well, thank you for that information, but I want to beat it with strawberry licorice. I would rather have the strawberry licorice. Now, that's tempting, isn't it? Rather than maybe the side effects of the medication and everything else, go ahead, help yourself. But here's the truth. It's your choice. What are you going to do? Colossians chapter 2. Look at verses 2 through 4. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, it is, honestly, before I finish the verse, it is honestly one of the things that drew me to Scripture. When you start reading the Bible from beginning to end, do you know how unified this book is? It's amazing. There's no way that anybody could have ever sat down and written what's in this book and had it work together the way it does. And here we are, we're in the book of Proverbs, yet Colossians, all these years later, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you, this is important, by fine-sounding arguments. You see, that's why wisdom is so important. Do you think there are fine-sounding arguments in our world today? Sure. Do you think believers fall for them sometimes? I have a couple times. I've listened to things and thought, well, that makes a lot of sense. And then you go on and realize, but that's not God's wisdom. I have to be rooted and grounded in Scripture so that when those fine-sounding arguments come along, I can go, wait a minute, something smells funny here. Something doesn't make sense. Don't be deceived. True wisdom is found in God alone. Now, that leads us to our final point to raising our WQ this morning. All right, and we'll continue next week. But the last point is simply this. Wisdom, then, will save you. That word is used straight out of Proverbs. Wisdom will save you. All right, chapter 2. This time we're going to start with verse 12. Last two passages for this morning. Chapter 2, verse 12. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. And you've had, I don't know if you've experienced it in life, but people, you know, in one way or another come along and say, oh, come on and do this. It's not a big deal. It won't hurt anything. Come on. Again, they might not say it exactly like that, but that's what's happening. Look at verse 16. It will save you also from the adulteress. So we're getting some examples. From the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Wisdom will save you. Oh, how many times? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. All right, one last story for this morning, then we're going to pray. I know many of you have studied kind of American history and kind of the development of culture. Gertrude Stein was an American writer who lived most of her life in France, and she greatly influenced the whole area of literature. If you've read much in American literature, you've read some of her stuff. Early to mid-1900s. Well, in 1946, she became ill during a trip in her car, and she was soon diagnosed with advanced stomach cancer. So it was not a good diagnosis. The surgeon operated, but Gertrude passed away on July 27, 1946. Now, why do I tell you this story? Well, because her baffling last words were this, quote, "What is the answer?" Everybody that was with her, nobody replied, and she laughed to herself, and she concluded just before she died, "Then what is the question?" Now, just think about it this morning. So wise in the world's eyes. I mean, she was very highly touted, very wise, very intelligent woman. Mixing with all the world's popular people, having finances you and I could only dream of, and yet at the end of life, she could not only give the answer to the whole thing, she couldn't even come up with the question. She didn't even know the right question to ask. See, I'll tell you what the question is that we need to ask ourselves. Here's the question for this morning. Where is true wisdom found? Okay, where do we find that? Where is wisdom available, and where do you find it? Where will I find the truth that will not only get me through today, but you know when that time comes and I'm offering my last words, they'll take me into eternity. Where do I find that kind of truth, that kind of wisdom? Well, to find wisdom, we must seek it. Wisdom is truly a gift from God. Wisdom is found in God alone. And the truth is, wisdom will save you. It will save you. Let's pray together. Father, as I look over our congregation this morning, I understand, boy, there are so many circumstances that are represented by those folks that are here today. And I don't know why you've developed these messages in the pattern or the path that you have, but Father, there might be someone here today who's getting ready to really make just a stupid choice in life. They know it's not right. They understand that you have a better path for them. And yet circumstances arise, we get tired, we get out of kilter, we quit reading your word or praying, and all of a sudden it just looks so tempting. Father, there might be others here today who have been seeking your wisdom for a while and just feel kind of beaten down by it. Maybe their family doesn't support them. Maybe their friends don't support them. Maybe today you can encourage their hearts that they're on the right path, and don't give up. Do the hard work. Trust in you with all their heart. Father, whatever circumstances represented by each and every one of us, may we ask that question and be able to answer it. Where am I going for my wisdom today? Is my life truly in Jesus' hands? Is He really leading and guiding me? And Father, if that's the case, then help us to hold on with all of our strength, because that's the truth of what this life brings to us. And all these other things that could be distractions aren't worth it. So maybe you brought us together today just to remind us of that, to drive that truth home, that we could live more for you this week than we ever have before. And Lord, if that's the result, we want to praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.